Please be seated. If you'll have the Word of God open in front of you at Exodus chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 to 21. Did you wash this morning before you came to church? Did you look in a mirror and make sure that there were no dirty smudges on your face? And make sure that your hair, if you have any, was in place? I have to do that less and less. These are things that we routinely do. Or they should be things that we do routinely. We check the mirror. We make sure that there are no dirty marks, that our hair is in place, that we look correct, especially if we're going out to important places. We check ourselves, we examine ourselves, we look in the mirror. But do we do it spiritually? How did you come to church this morning? Was it rushed? Perhaps you came tired. You maybe did look in the mirror, but did you consider your heart as you were coming? Did you give much thought concerning your standing before God? Did you look in the mirror of God's word and seek to be made clean? We do these things continually with our outer body, and yet our outer body is going to waste away. Our outer body won't last forever. And yet we do it routinely with the outer body. Do we do that with our soul? Do we routinely check our heart? Do we draw near to God to have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water? For the priests serving in the tabernacle, there was a continual reminder for them that this is what they must do if they are to worship and serve and minister before God. And if they didn't wash, then we are told that they would die. But of course, God expects all his worshipers, all who serve him, to be made clean before him. We're looking at this bronze basin this morning that we find in Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 to 21. Now, we don't have many details concerning the bronze basin itself. We're told that it was made from bronze, and we're told that along with its stand, it sat there within the tabernacle complex. Now, the basin itself was positioned behind the altar, but before the tent of meeting. And hopefully in a second or two, this will come up on the screen so that we're all clear as to what we're looking at. So we've been considering the tabernacle, this tent that God called Moses to build. Around the outside, we have the white linen border. There was a contrast between those within the tabernacle and those outside. God said only those who draw near must come through the gate. There was only one gateway, one door. And these are, of course, all pictures of what Jesus Christ does for us. For all who are in Christ, we're separated from the world. There's a difference between those in Christ and those outside of Christ. And there's only one way into Christ's family, and that is through the only door, the only gate, Jesus Christ himself. As you come in from the eastern side, we come to the altar. This is where the burnt offerings were laid up. This is where the sacrifices took place. The animals, the lambs, the bulls, the goats. God was saying, sin is serious. Sin deserves punishment. I am angry at sin, and sin must be paid for. but I am also providing a substitute, a sacrifice. And then we have the tabernacle proper itself, we could say, divided into two parts, the holy place. And in here, the priests could go, and there was the large candle. There was the table of showbread. There was the altar for incense where prayers were offered up. And then further on in is the most holy place that had the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the throne of God. But what we are considering this morning is this: a wash basin situated in the tabernacle as a continual reminder that there must be a washing, there must be a purity, a being made clean before God. Into this basin, water was poured. And Aaron and his sons, we are told, were to wash their hands and their feet when they go to serve, when they go to offer sacrifices, when they come in to the tabernacle proper to offer up prayer. They are to ceremonially wash their hands and their feet. We don't have many more references in Scripture to this bronze basin within the tabernacle. In chapter 38, verse 8, we're told that the bronze used for making it came from the mirrors of the ministering woman who ministered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, these mirrors wouldn't have been made of glass. Glass mirrors wouldn't be developed for another 1,500 years. The mirrors that they used would have been bits of metal that were polished, thoroughly polished, so much so that you could see your reflection in them. And bronze was a good type of mirror to use. Fairly inexpensive, and it could be polished to a high degree. So these mirrors that were used for making this wash basin were from the bronze, those bronze mirrors that the ladies had. We're not given the dimensions of the basin, nor are we told how much bronze was used. We just don't know. We do know that by the time of Solomon, things in the temple were a lot more grand. Solomon had many wash basins. There was one massive, large basin, and then there were 10 large ones. The largest held about 150 bathfuls of water, 44,000 liters of water. But here in the tabernacle, here in this tent, we just see a basin there for washing hands and washing feet. And God was teaching his people, we can't approach God without being clean. We are to be washed in the presence of God. It's important for us to realize this. How did you come to church this morning? Did you seek to wash your hands and your feet? Did you examine yourself in your heart? Spiritually, if God is saying to the people of Israel, you can't come near without being clean, without examining yourselves, then surely we too must examine ourselves. The same God, the same Creator. Well, let's look at this bronze basin this morning. And I just have 2 points to be making from it. The first one is, we have a reflection for washing. It's a reflection for washing. This basin was made from these highly polished bronze mirrors that belonged to the women who were ministering at the entrance of the tabernacle. Now, these women weren't priests. But they did serve in some way in the tabernacle. We're not told anything more about them. There are women mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 2 who ministered at the entrance. Eli's wicked sons lay with these women. That's all that we know, and they're condemned for that. So we're not sure who exactly they were, but they were obviously faithful ladies here who were serving and ministering and welcoming people coming in towards the tabernacle and helping out in whatever way they could in worship. But our focus isn't on the women. It's on the mirrors that have been shaped into this basin and its stand. Picture the scene. The wilderness is dry and dusty. And you've come in to the tabernacle complex. You've come in through the curtain, the one gate in. And there is the altar with the sacrifices. The smells of burnt flesh, but also incense, a sweet smell rising up. And there's blood. There's lots of blood. Lots of animals being slaughtered. The ground itself is dusty. There's probably a dry heat. You walk around and there are the priests and they're ministering. And most likely they ministered in their bare feet. And they're getting this dust on their feet. They've blood on their hands. You walk past the altar. The sun is shining and you start to squint. Because there's this polished bronze basin. And as you go closer, you see there's water in it. And the reflection of the polished bronze and the reflection of the water shows your face. You can see yourself. When the priests were ministering, they could see themselves. And I believe there's a reason for that. I believe God is teaching Israel a lesson. God is saying you have to examine yourself. I require purity. I require you to look at yourself. God is saying I require of the priests to make sure that their hands and their feet are clean. You can't serve me with stains. You can't draw close without looking into the mirror and washing your hands and your feet. God's word is described for us as a mirror. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, God says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Who in their right mind would look into a mirror, see a dirty mark, and then just ignore it? Nobody who's sane would do that. How foolish to look in a mirror and by the time you've turned away, you've completely forgotten that you had this dirty stain. That would be ridiculous. Yet how many people live their lives like that? We have the mirror of God's word. And it's held up to people in front of them. And it shows them what they are like. It tells them that they are guilty before God. But yet, like the foolish man, they switch off. They turn away. They forget. They don't care. How foolish. How foolish when we are like that. When we are confronted through God's word with the sins in our own lives. When God speaks to us and points out very clearly in his truth the things that we are doing wrong, where we're falling short. And our conscience is pricked for a short while, but then we close over the mirror of God's word, we set it down, and we want to forget. How foolish. God's word reflects or shows us what we are like. And God says, if you're coming to serve me, if you're coming to minister before me, if you're looking to live before me, then you have to realize that the sin in your life needs washed away. You are to be made clean. You are to be pure before me. You can't serve with dirty hands. You can't serve with dirty feet. You can't serve if your hands have been involved in sin or you've walked in the way of sin in one moment and then the next you're coming to me without seeking cleansing. This wash basin in the tabernacle was a reminder to the people and to the priests. We are to examine ourselves. Look at yourself. You're to be made clean. And friends, we need to make use of the mirror of God's word. We need to study it. We need to look in the face of Jesus Christ in Scripture and see our sin and our stain and our faults as we realize He is the great, glorious King. He is the Savior, and we have fallen so far short. We need to look into the mirror. We need to do it when it's difficult, when it's hard, and when it's challenging. We're to do that especially when it's difficult. We need to be brought face to face with the stain that's in our lives through our sin. And it's going to be uncomfortable. Looking into God's word, looking at Jesus Christ, it will be uncomfortable and it will be humbling. And it might shock us. We're far more unclean than we would like to admit or that we've even considered. But here in the tabernacle was a mirror, a reflection for the purpose of washing. So that the priests needed to know that to serve God, to minister before God, meant that they had to wash their hands and their feet. It's a reflection for washing. But then secondly, it's a repetition for washing. It's a repetition for washing. We're told that the priests had to wash every time they carried out a sacrifice. Every time they went into the tent of meeting. This washing at the basin of the hands and the feet, it was to be repeated over and over and over again. Now, there was a washing that the priests went through that didn't have to be repeated. And that was at their ordination, if you remember back, when they became priests. They were bathed completely. That was the priest in the water and then an anointing of oil and the sacrifices on the altar. And God was saying, you have now been set apart to serve me. They were washed and made clean completely before God. The sacrifice was paid. Now they are his. Now they belong to him. And so the priest didn't need to have his whole body washed over and over again every time he was going to do something in the tabernacle. But God is saying, your hands and your feet. Not your whole body, but your hands and your feet. Obviously, they ministered barefoot. When we think about the number of sacrifices with the blood, the dust and the dirt of the ground, being a priest was a job where you picked up the dirt around you. And so there was to be a continual, repeated washing, continual making the hands and the feet clean. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took off his outer robe, he tied it round his waist, he began to wash his disciples' feet. And do you remember what Peter said? Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You're not going to wash them. You'll never wash my feet. So how could Jesus take up such a lowly position? Jesus said to Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. So Peter then said, well, not my feet only, but my whole body, my hands, my head, wash everything. And Jesus replied, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean. Jesus was telling Peter that there was a washing that makes clean. There is a once-for-all washing that purifies. And Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood and paying the price for our sin, he makes clean once for all. If you're a Christian this morning, you have been made clean in the sight of God in Jesus Christ. You have been washed. Like the anointing of the priests, like their ordination, there was a time when God had lifted us up out of that pit of sin and misery and filth, and he washed us in Jesus Christ, forgiven our sins, and brought us into his family, and called us a kingdom of priests. You are mine. But we are not perfect. Clean before God. But we know our hands still get dirty with the stains of our sin. Our feet still get dusty as we walk in ways that we shouldn't go. And so we are still to call out to God. We are still to ask that God will forgive us. Jesus himself taught us that when he taught us how to pray. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins. We're to do that continually as we see our reflection in the Word of God. We are to continually come before God in confession. Now you might say, but I am forgiven. Surely you've told us time and time again that when God forgives us, he forgives us for all our sins, past, present, and future. In Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous. So why should I have to keep coming before God to say sorry? The answer is because God tells us to. We are to have a life of confession and repentance before God. Yes, we have been made clean in Jesus Christ. Yes, our sins are forgiven. But we are still to come, and we can actually come in confidence and assurance. God does forgive. I know that he will forgive. Confessing and seeking to forsake sin. It's one of the ways that we grow in our Christian life. It's one of the marks that we are made clean. That we continually come to have our hands and feet washed. Yes, made clean in Jesus Christ and set apart in Jesus Christ. But I know I still stumble. I know I still fall. And so, Lord, wash my hands and my feet. Father, forgive me. The Westminster Confession of Faith, it says in chapter 15 and paragraph 5, men ought not to content themselves with a general repentance. But it's every man's duty to endeavor to repent of his particular sins, particularly. Friends, we're to pay attention to our sins. We're to examine our lives as we seek to serve and minister before God. And we're to confess those specific sins. Lord, I did this today. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for when I did that. We're in a daily relationship of worshiping and serving and ministering before God. And so it is to be our daily practice of examining ourselves and washing so that we can serve, so that we can worship, so that we can minister with our hearts sprinkled clean. We can't assume that we can just saunter into the presence of God with no concern about our sin. That's not what we're to do. God says, look at your reflection, examine yourself, and wash. Be made clean. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 that we read from earlier. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What lesson do we learn from the tabernacle? Well, this bronze wash basin is telling us that we are to examine ourselves every day, not just at times of communion, not just coming on the Sabbath in worship. Every day, as we go about our lives in worship and serving God, examine yourself, look at your reflection. Don't ignore it. Don't assume that it doesn't matter to God, because you have already trusted in Jesus Christ. But make a daily practice, continual practice, of asking God for forgiveness. But do so with the confidence, the reassurance that in Jesus Christ, He has forgiven. He has made you clean. He has set you apart. And He loves to forgive His children, because He is faithful and just. Amen.